Now, it may surprise you to know, but the very first sermon I ever preached in my entire life when I was just a mere boy still in high school was preached on the very text that was just read in your hearing this morning. Now, I want you to know that when I preached that sermon, I was nervous. See, I was preaching to my peers, other high school kids at a Youth for Christ rally at Baynard Junior High School in Wilmington, Delaware. Anybody know the place? It's still there. Still, they're going to put a plaque up someday. I was nervous because you know how critical high school kids can be, particularly of other high school kids. Actually, to be real honest, I was more than nervous. I was scared to death. And I wanted everything to go smoothly. Now, if I was to be 100% honest with you, I would tell you that what I really wanted most of all was to impress my peers and hopefully lead a few of them closer to Christ. Maybe my priorities were wrong, but now, I planned to begin my sermon with this truly wonderful, well thought out, and entirely appropriate illustration of the very point that Jesus was attempting to make in the passage of Scripture that was read. You see, even way back then, I was good. This is what I did. You ready? I'm going to repeat the scene. I had this candle just like this, on a candlestick, something like that one, sitting right there on a table in front of all, and I lit it. We didn't have lighters like this back then. They did not exist until much later in time. I lit the candle just like that. What are you saying over there? That's right. I'll get there in a minute. Hold on with me. I lit the candle. Talked about what the scripture says. You light a lamp, a candle, you set it up because you want to give light to all of those who are in the house. And then I asked them to turn off the house lights. Look at it. Yeah, I'll get there in a minute too. See how beautiful it is? How brightly it shines? The truth, the light, God, shining in the midst of the darkness, and the darkness can't drive it away. There it is, shining brightly, and the darkness only makes it all that much more bright. I told them about how in World War II, they say that if you were flying a German plane over London and a single candle was lit, you could find the city from way up in the sky by the light of that one little flame. I told them all that. Perfect illustration of what Jesus was saying. You can turn the lights back on now. There was only one problem. We were in the auditorium at Baynard Junior High School, and the janitor was not present in the room. You can never find the janitor when you want him. And none of us knew how to turn off the lights. What you need to be is a nervous high school kid preaching your first sermon in the front of your peers and then have the opening illustration fall flat on its face because the janitor ain't present and you can't turn off the lights. I was left with that. A candle. Tiny little candle flame shining in the midst of a brightly lit room. Totally ineffective. But even then, I was good. This was a challenge. Required a slightly different use of the illustration. But that was Jesus' point. He said, no one lights a lamp and hides it. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that the light is useful to all of those in the house. Jesus was using a simple example to make a very deep point. The simple fact is, you don't light a lamp and hide its light, do you? You light a lamp because you need to see, and light enables sight. If you hide the lamp, it would be foolish and counterproductive. You would, in essence, be acting against the very purpose behind the lighting of the lamp. Because you don't light it to hide it. You light it so that it will give light to the house. But Jesus went on to make it clear that the light equals truth. And as light makes it possible to see, so in time, all things held up to the truth will be shown to be what they are. That which is good will be revealed in the light of truth as good. And that which is bad will be shown by the light of truth to be bad. All things will become shown in that light as they are. And we know the truth of that, ultimately, don't we? For we know that Jesus is the light of the world. We know that Jesus is all truth. And that ultimately, he will show us all things as they are. So, Jesus, who is the truth and the light, told his followers to listen carefully. He explained that if you are in the truth, that is, if you are holding up the light, you see more and learn more, for the light will reveal things to you as they are. If you have been given truth and have perceived it as truth, it will illumine your path. It will become a light under your feet and show you what things are true and what things are false. But if you have hidden the lamp of truth, you will stumble around in the darkness until you are totally confused, and even that which once seemed to be true will have lost its meaning to you. You must examine everything in the light of truth, in the light which shines from the face of Jesus and which is revealed to us in God's holy word, the Bible. Now get ready, because here comes the deal. See, the Holy Spirit of God leads us into truth. We don't get it on our own. We can't make sense out of it on our own. It is the Holy Spirit active in us which leads us into truth. And if we trust the sight, if we trust the Spirit, our understanding of truth will grow over time as we increasingly conform to the image of Christ over time according to God's predetermined will for us. Now, let me bring that down a little too highfalutin here. If we walk in the light, Jesus, we will change and become more like Jesus as we continue to walk in the light. The problem is that today, in the world in which we live, there are so many things which proclaim themselves to be true. It's like that candle. We don't need it Because there's so much light in the world, and there's so much brilliance shining around us in the world in which we live today that says true, 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 that the true light the world offers us so many forms of truth. And so many of us, too many of us, have become convinced in this time that truth is by nature relative. You've heard it just like I have. You have your truth. I have my truth. What's true to you is true to you. What's true to me is true to me. As our dear friend and guide Oprah would tell us, you need to search for your personal truth. You have yours, I have mine. You have no right to criticize my truth because it's my truth. But if, on the other hand, I find your truth to be too narrow and bigoted, I have every right to tell you so, because that's not true. Because truth is relative. Therefore, it must always be flexible and tolerant. You ready now? You hear me. Truth is always truth, just as light is always light. If I blow out the flame on the candle, the flame is gone. It does not become darkness. However, if the room was dark, darkness would rush in to take the place that was once filled with light. But the light has not become darkness. Truth is always true. Can I just tell you something really honestly? If you can't depend upon the truth always being true, it ain't true. Because tomorrow it might be a lie. Are you ready for this? Truth is not flexible and tolerant. It is immutable and it does not bend with time. It stays true forever. And you may find it rock hard and impossible to endure because it conflicts with what you think is true, but that doesn't change it. It remains true. It doesn't change from time to time, from place to place, from person to person. What is true is always true. So Jesus said, be careful. Be careful how you listen, because Oprah's out there telling you stuff that ain't true. Be careful to whom you listen, because Oprah's out there lying to you. Think, Jesus said, before you accept a lie as truth. Can I just give you some examples of this? Because since I started writing this, things have been rushing in on me like crazy. I listened to a nun on the television last night who was criticizing Romney for picking Ryan to be his vice president. And she was criticizing because she didn't like the Ryan budget. Okay, now, what I have to tell you is, Ryan's a Roman Catholic. The nun is a Roman Catholic. The most important moral issue in the election to Roman Catholics is abortion, and the nun and Ryan agree on the most important issue. But you know what? She did not like him. Because his budget is unfair to poor people. Can I get really political for a minute? You ready for this? It's not my sermon notes. They're going crazy back there because they can't find out where I am. They don't know what slide to put up. Listen to me. The government was never supposed to take care of poor folk. The church was. That's what God told us to do. Okay, the nun ought to be spending the church's money to take care of poor folk. not criticizing the government for not doing the church's job. Now, all I want you to say, I want to hear you say, you hear me, it's so close to the truth. It sounds so right. We ought to be taking care of poor. Yeah, we should, but not the way we are. You with me? You hear me? It's right next to the truth. That means it's not true. It's close, but not there. Be careful what you hear and who you listen to. I'll give you another one, because this one drove me crazy. The other day, Lois and I, my wife and I, are doing study on John 21, and we had picked some stuff off of the internet to read about it. It's a place where, they're on the shore after resurrection, Peter and Jesus and the disciples, and Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? And the guy we were reading says, why did Jesus ask Peter 3 times, do you love me? Okay, you ready for this? I screamed. He said that Jesus asked that question 3 times because Jesus needed to be reassured that Peter loved him. No! Jesus knows everything. That's truth. He is the Son of the living God. He knows before you know. He didn't need to know that Peter loved him. Peter needed to know that he loved Jesus. And he did the whole cotton picking thing for Peter. Not for him. But it sounds so right, doesn't it? So close. Almost there. Be careful. Be careful how you listen. Be careful to whom you listen. Think. And train yourself to listen most to the Holy Spirit of God and let Him lead you through the Scripture to true light, to Jesus Christ. For everyone who knows Jesus knows truth and grows in truth. It is commanded by God that you conform to the image of Jesus Christ if you know Him. But he who does not know Jesus stumbles around in the darkness like a blind man until he eventually discovers that that which he once believed to be true was never true and is lost, a lie, because it was not found in the light. It was never true. It was always darkness. Always a lie. Friends, Jesus is the light of the world. He exposes all of the world's lies to be what they are, lies. And truth is found in no one but Him.